we're ready to start this session, and we're going to hear about the endangered documentation of endangered Turkic varieties in post-Soviet Kazakhstan. So welcome.
Thank you. So I have four authors of this paper, and all the four authors are greeting everyone who has come to listen to this lecture very heartily. Now, all the three authors are present because our fourth author, Jamal Bektusupov, does not feel well, so he sends also his regards to everyone, but he could not be here. But he is here in at the University of Manoa, but he has got high temperature, so he couldn't come. So, a very short outline of the lecture. We will give you general information about Kazakhstan and its social linguistic situation. Then we'll outline language diversity in Kazakhstan and Turkic ethnic groups in particular in Kazakhstan. We'll give you social linguistic data collection and possibilities of data analysis. And then we will speak about Kazakhstani Turkish community and about social linguistic data of our project on the Turkish community in Kazakhstan. Then we'll speak about language documentation of endangered Turkish varieties in Kazakhstan. So first, Kazakhstan is situated in the center of Eurasia, and it borders on China, Russia, Kyrgyzstan, Uzbekistan, and Turkmenistan. And it is a multi-ethnic, multilingual, and multicultural country which gained its independence in 1991 after the collapse of the Soviet Union. At that time, the number of non-Kazakh population was higher than the ethnic Kazakhs in the country, which created, of course, quite a number of problems. And you see some reasons for decrease in Kazakh population, which was determined by different historical facts, but also influx of non-Kazakh, not ethnic Kazakh, of population. Kazakhstan became a recipient of many refugees from different regions of the Soviet Union due to deportation during the collectivization period, due to deportation of in the period of the Second World War, industrialization during the Second World War, and Virgin Land campaign in the 50s and 60s. So, more than 130 languages are spoken in Kazakhstan. Different ethnic groups have the right to develop and learn their traditional languages in cultural centers or Sunday schools, and languages of bigger-numbered languages have their state-operated primary and secondary schools, and Kazakh is the state language. Russian is an official language and has the same rights as the state language. Now we'll speak about Turkic ethnicities in Kazakhstan. The representatives of 24 Turkic languages live here. And the majority of Kazakhstani Turkic speaking communities are multilingual. They are fluent in their own language, Kazakh and Russian. And this especially concerns bigger Turkic ethnicities like Uzbeks, Uyghurs, Azeri, Turks. Smaller Turkic ethnicities are mostly monolingual in Russian. They have lost their native tongue. So you see the data of the census of 2009. And but we would want to show also that these data should be well taken with some consideration because of different reasons, especially because of differences, mismatch between self-identification and identification in the passport. Social linguistic data collection and analysis of the data, as well as documentation of endangered Turkic varieties, were the objectives of an international project, Interaction of Turkic Languages and Culture in the Post-Soviet Kazakhstan, which is still going on, beginning from 2014. And it is funded by the Volkswagen Foundation. You see here the universities that are partners in this project, two universities in Germany and two universities in Kazakhstan. The social linguistic data were obtained by means of a questionnaire composed for this purpose and presented to representatives of various Turkic ethnic groups in Kazakhstan. All the obtained data are stored in open access online databases on the website presented here, and there are already 2,235 interviews that are stored there. We will skip this part of the lecture because we will come back to this, these possibilities of using our data in the end of our presentation, when we'll just show you the website, because it's all open access, you can use that. So I'm skipping this because it will be explained later.
Kazakhstani Turkish community is the biggest one in Kazakhstan. According to the census data of 2009, more than 97,000 people of Turkish nationality live in Kazakhstan, and 206 interviewers took part in the our survey. They 195 of them are citizens of Kazakhstan. Besides, there are citizens of Turkey, Russia, Kyrgyzstan, Uzbekistan, and Kazakhstan. The families of 49 respondents were not deported to Kazakhstan in 1944, and 40 respondents' families were deported to Kazakhstan. The rest of them didn't give the answer. Our field research data helped to shed light on Kazakhstani Turks, who are represented by two groups, Akhiska Turks and Karadenizli Turks, previously known as Meskhetian Turks. On November of 1944, the Turkish population was deported from Georgia to Central Asia, Uzbekistan and Kyrgyzstan, and without permission to return back to their historical places of settlement. In Kazakhstan, they mostly live in southern regions. The descendants of the deported Turks speak different varieties of Turkish, or other Agusic Turkic, like Azeri. Their varieties haven't been documented prior to the project. Language of Turkish sub-ethnic groups have kept some archaic features and developed innovative ones. They emerged; these features have emerged through contacts with other languages of Turkic origin, as Kazakh, Kyrgyz, Uzbek, Tatar, or non-Turkic origins languages as Russians. Akhiska Turks and Karadenizli are subdivided into the following subgroups. Akhiska identify themselves as yearly Akhiska, non-nomadic, indulging in agriculture, and Terekim Akhiska, cattle-breeding nomadic tribes. The latter speak a dialect of Azeri. Karadenizli people are people of the Black Sea, are represented by Hemshili and Laz Turks. Karadenizli as well as Akhiska Turks are Sunni Muslims. The population of the Black Sea coast, including Batumi in contemporary Georgia, comprise Megrelian, Laz, and Turks that are also called Laz because of their geographic location. The pasture of the Laz Turks overlapped with those of Hemshili, who arrived to that area at the beginning of 20s. And Hemshili Turks used to live next to local Muslim Armenians in the Hemshili area. And that is why they are got this the name, this ethnonym, as because of the region they lived. This difference between Muslim Armenians Hemshins and Turkish Hemshili was explained in one of the interviews given by Sarımamed Oğlu, born in 24 in Batumi, who lives in Taraz. He explains why they are called Hemshili, and here is it represented in the story, and he explains that the Soviet time, when the Soviet came, they closed their borderline, and after the borderline was closed, from that time, they didn't allow go back to Turkish side. Mm-hmm. And that is why they were not allowed to go to that side, and by their passports were taken away, and in their passports they were registered as Hemshili by their nationality. Here are the ID cards of one of the representatives of Hemshili, Beşlioğlu Kulbar, who was born in Georgia Adjaria, who lives in Jambal in Kazakhstan now, and in her ID she is registered as Hemshili. And here are the examples of Hemshiri Turks who changed their nationality to Turks. Compare, for example, in the birth certificate, they are identified as Hemshil by nationality, and vice versa in ID, he was reported as Turk, Turak. The same with Zulfuraghli Emiria, who is also in her certificate is registered as Hemshili and in her ID card as Turk. One of the reasons for changing their nationality was the fact that in 1991 in Almaty, a Turkish center was founded which proclaimed Turkey to be protector of the Akhiska, Miskhetian Turks, and other Turkish subgroups. The Turkish language was declared as the sole standard language of Kazakhstani Turks. An international newspaper is published, and beside, standard Turkish is taught as an optional subject at Kazakhstani schools. The Turks live together as a community with a very strong ethnic tradition. Akhiska, as compared to Hemshili, have different cultural backgrounds in their lifestyle, cuisine, national dresses. Here the Akhiska Turk community on the left side picture, and their national cuisine is hinkal, this small, which has the equivalent to Georgian hinkali. And on the next picture, the Hemshili Turks community, their national cuisine and the main dish is dolma, which is equivalent to Armenian dolma. Here's a picture of Akhiska man in national dress and Hemshili man in his national dress. Akhiska women and Hemshili women in their national dresses. Akhiska family and Hemshili family. And old Hemshili women who are living in Taraz who kept their national dresses. Marriages between Akhiska and Hemshili, Akhiska and Laz, are not allowed. However, in the current period, marriages between Hemshili and Laz are allowed by the elder generation of the community, as well as marriages to other ethnicities. In the story which is given by our interviewer, he told about that his daughter-in-law, Bayan, is Kazakh, a Kazakh girl, and his daughter married to a Kazakh man, Anarbek. Kazakhstani Turkish community, and here are the data of the nationality by passport. It's also very interesting information our respondents give. They, over 206 interviewers, showed that they are Turks by nationality. But in their question to the self-identification, the statistic is different. The respondents identify themselves as Turks, and 80.3% of them are registered in their passports as Azeri. And this mismatch, you see that their fathers of this number are Turks, Miskhetian Turks. One of the reasons is that Turks were forcibly recorded in their passports as Azerbaijani at the beginning of 20s. This is proved by the story which is recorded during the field research, where the man explains that in 1923, the Soviet government was organized and Turkish people automatically were registered in passports as Azerbaijani. And if we compare this data with Azeri people who participated at the questionnaire, there are 46 of Azeri people among 331 identify themselves as Turks. And but they don't. But Azeri people don't identify themselves as Turks. Only Turks Turks identify themselves. Azeri identify them as Turks because they were there was mismatch. A question of our special interest was the language proficiency, the role of the native language in the family, native language as means of communication between different generations. The interviewer gave the following answers. 62.1% of the respondents always use the native language. In the families, they use the native language as well if they are represented by two generations. In Turkic families, a woman responsible for giving her the mother tongue to her further generation. How do the Turkic ethnicity use the language in the by grown-ups? 128 use only the mother tongue. Besides, there's Russian and mother tongue, Russian, Uzbek, Kazakh, and Turkish is used. It depends on the marriage in the family. The language which is used by Turkish interviewers with other ethnicities in Kazakhstan, so 41 use only Russian, 79 Kazakh and Russian, 9 Russian and native tongue, 20 Kazakh and Russian and Turkish, 13 only Kazakh.
Is everything fine? We see that the language is used in the families, but the younger generation switched to standard Turkish because of the Turkish mass media widespread in Kazakhstan and the increased mobility of these groups themselves. Many young people study and work in Turkey. Thus, this is a paradox situation. The spreading of standard Turkish endangers the preservation of Meskhetian native varieties. Standard Turkish is taught at 33 Kazakh Turkish lyceums, which function in every big regional city of Kazakhstan. Compare, from the middle of 1990s up to 2005, Akhiska was taught only in two schools in Taraz. But due to the retirement of Akhiska instructors, the program was closed. That means that we should document the indigenous Turkish varieties in Kazakhstan. And they are endangered and all have already come to the point where there is a need for their revitalization. The situation is aggravated by the fact that all the variants of Turkish in Kazakhstan are unwritten. The language differs from standard Turkish, and we have prepared a number of features in phonology and in the lexicon that show that are different in standard Turkish and in Akhiska Turkish. And you can have a look at all those features because we will give our presentation to the front desk, and who is interested will be able to see those differences. Our task was also to document endangered Turkish varieties in Kazakhstan. We recorded our interviews with audio and video recordings. Then video editor was used for editing audio and video recordings. Further steps are deciphering and internalizing of the data in the toolbox. All ELAN programs according to the following pipelines. Toolbox analysis, and then it's imported into ELAN, or we do the ELAN alignment, time alignment, then we import to Toolbox the data, and then from in Toolbox we internalize them and report back to ELAN. And then we upload raw data and procedure data to the language archive at Max Planck Institute at Nijmegen. And I'm very happy to say thank you to Sebastian Drude, who is one of the founders of that archive at Nijmegen, for doing for just grounding this, founding this archive. So this is an example of the morphological analysis in the linguist toolbox. And after that, we archive the data at the MPI in Nijmegen using the program ARBIL. Thus, Kazakhstan presents a very interesting area for studying Turkish communities by different reasons.
Turkish diaspora is fully integrated into modern realities of Kazakhstan, have the right to keep their language and culture. It should be also noted that Turkish representatives consider Kazakhstan to be the most comfortable country among all Central Asian states for preserving the culture, language, and majority of them do not want to change the citizenship or move to other countries. And here is the glimpse of how Kazakhstani Turkish people live. Thank you for your attention, and we'd like to give a short glimpse to our website.
This is a website of our project, which is now still in Russian, but a Kazakh and an English version are already being worked on, and we prepare the data for presentation also in Kazakh and Russian. On this site, you can, for example, fill in the questionnaire, social linguistic questionnaire, and some representatives of Turkic minorities in Kazakhstan did that. And here are the results. Here you see, first of all, the database is an Excel table. And this is, here. This is this table which you can upload or work with it on, download or work with it on the website using different filters. Here, for example, I have applied a filter. I have filtered the nationality by passport and chose only Turks. But of course, you can also choose the other nationalities as defined in the passport in Kazakhstan. And you can use filter over filter. For example, you want to see the answers only of the women or only of people, of young people from 10 till 18 years old. So you use just further filters and filter over filter, and you can see then the answers to 191 questions that we put to these people. So, or the other way to use our database is visualization. For example, here we have seven categories. So this is ethnicity according to their passport. You can choose here, well, we'll take again the Turks, 206 people. And the Google Drive engine will generate all the answers that the Turks give.
By all the positions of our questionnaire, right?
According to all the questions, yes. Here you... Some of the answers could not be presented as a diagram because there were, for example, open questions like what are your wishes? Do you want to have your native tongue to be taught at schools? And if we again choose the Turks here, you get open answers to the open questions on the database, and you can also scroll them and get all the answers that were given. That's it. Enjoy using our database, and we hope that if you are interested in Turkic ethnicities in Kazakhstan, you will be able to get information from our website. And thank you so much for your attention.
Thank you for this talk. I'm interested in if your work with doing this elicitation of all the questions had some impact on the people questioned. So was there a process of getting more conscious about the mismatches between nationality and the passport, language use, and perhaps historical origins and so forth, as you laid out? It's for me. What I got is that's a huge mess, and there are many, many mismatches. So
that's it. Yes, that's
did
it.
People react on that, or was there something like a process of being more conscious by your interviewing?
Yes, of course. Work? Thank you very much for your question. They help us to clear up the situation. Why the quality statistic of the passport and self-identification is quite different. And we got this information while interviewing them, where they explained the reason that they lived in the borderline. In 20s, the borderline was closed, especially nomadic Hemshili, who couldn't return back to Turkey. And they stayed at the Soviet side. And they were automatically written as Hemshin, Armenians, who lived in that area. As for the Meskhetian Turks who lived in borderline with Georgia, so everything is in Georgia, but in the different part of Meskhetia, part of Georgia, they were written as Georgians or Azeri, because again, the Soviet regime came and everything was yes, and
mixed
that is
up.
What mixed up. And the in 1944, in 90, at the beginning and of the Second World War, Turkey was very close, and it was dangerous to be the Turkish. And they wrote in their passport as Georgians. We have representatives with Georgian surnames, Gogashvili or other, but they are Turks by their self-identification. And only their interviews, their story helped us to clear up. And besides, the representatives of all these ethnicities are proud that we interviewed them. And they helped us to give this information and shed light on what is going on. And they have some self-consciousness of who are they, that they are not that lost people in a huge country which had many ideological system, but now that is why now in modern Kazakhstani time they shift into the Turkish ethnicity. So this is one of the reasons. They self-identify themselves not as Armenian or Georgian, but as Turks.
And for me, it was, of course, also very, very touching even to speak with those people who remember the deportation, how many difficulties their families or they themselves had. And they did not have any reason to conceal all that anymore. They told us, please publish the data. They asked, of course, whether we are allowed to publish the data, and they said, well, we really want you to publish the data so that all people know our story.
And that is why they gave us and they allowed us to use their ID cards, just to show that that is the history and that is the reality. And besides, in our open questions, there is the part where respondents can show their surnames if they want. And actually, all the respondents showed their surnames, and they are just eagerly want to their names be fixed. That is also very important because
it was important for them.
Yes, because in other ethnicities like Uzbek or Uyghur, they ask, please don't show our surnames. But Turkic people, they are very open and very sociable.
Mm-hmm. And I wanted to just add something. There were many students of Kazakh universities and of the German universities took part in this project. For example, these interviews were partially conducted by student volunteers of the Eurasian National Kazakh University. And for them, too, it was very interesting and probably even key experience in their life, as they realized what the history of Kazakhstan is, what the history of these ethnic groups is, and while they were also proud of the Kazakhstan people who helped these people to survive when they were deported to Kazakhstan. They had only 3 hours to collect their things, and then they were brought to Kazakhstan and just thrown out in the steppe, and the Kazakh people saved their lives. And this was a very important experience for the Kazakh students and for the German students as well.
In the 1960s, when the Communist Party allowed to deported people return back to their historical places, the only ethnicity which was not allowed to return back was Meskhetian Turks. They returned, they was not given their homes and places, and they managed to return back to Kazakhstan. And you see people who were just thrown to the steppe, in what situation they live in modern Kazakhstan, the last picture which we showed. Mm-hmm. And this is the pictures from the expeditions.
Yes, well, we had joint expeditions of Kazakh teachers and students and German teachers and students who went together to different communities. This is, for example, an Uzbek community which we visited, and so on.
Now, in Kazakhstan, we have a slogan, one country, but many faiths. Mm-hmm. So this is that and in Kazakhstan, there are no division of the language into regional, minority languages, because by constitution, all the languages have right, and cultures, nationalities have right to develop their language and culture.
Thank you.
That's a change. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for your presentation.
Thank you so much.